David was so committed to raising up worshipers in Israel that before he died as king, he gave a commandment to all future kings. Remember, he's king, so he can do this. That anyone who becomes the king of Israel must reestablish worship in Israel under the order of David, the key of David, under the tabernacle of David, that they must reestablish worship. And you know the story of Israel. They had as many bad kings as good kings. They would have people that got into idolatry, including his successors, Solomon, who followed him. That's when it began. And then after that, you have Rehoboam, and it goes right on down the line to wicked kings and good kings. But there were several kings that got into such trouble, they said, there's no way out of this unless we establish worship again in Israel. And there were seven of those kings. There was Solomon who did that. There was Jehoshaphat. I love the story of Jehoshaphat. I'll tell you that one in just a moment. Jehoiada, Hezekiah, Josiah, Zerubbabel, and Ezra, Nehemiah. And every one of those got into a place where Israel was in deficit. And the only way they got out of their dilemma was to reestablish worship. Now, can I just preach for a minute here tonight? I'm going to anyway, so you might as well get with me because I'm going to anyway. I'm going to tell you this. There is no substitute for worship. There is no substitute. When you're in trouble, you can worship your way out. When you are sick, you can worship your way out. And can I tell you, if we fill these halls with worship every time we come together, we're going to keep adding rows and rows and rows till one of these days you won't be able to get in this building. Yes, on a Tuesday night when everybody says you can't have church, I'm telling you, you let the glory of God settle in this place. You let God's worshipers come with passion after God, and you establish the order of David in this room, the glory of God will settle. It'll bring them in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. They'll come early to get a seat. They'll come with passion in their hearts, and you will see signs and wonders and miracles and healing and people being filled with the Spirit and saved in every single service. And the kings of Israel learned this. They learned that when they got in trouble, the only way out of it was to reestablish worship, and that the worship of God would deliver Israel once again. And we saw it time and time again. King Jehoshaphat, great story in the Bible. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 is this story, and you've probably read it, but if not, it's a great story to go back and read again. He has three nations coming against him to destroy him. Moab, Ammon, and Edom, they've come against him. And he already knows that he can't beat them because there's three of them, and they so far outnumber them. And so he doesn't know how to get out of this, so they seek God's presence, and the Lord tells them, go out and fight in the battle, and you're not even going to need to fight in this battle. If you will worship, now listen to this. Somebody needs to hear this tonight. If you will worship, you won't even have to fight in the battle. If you will worship, you won't have to draw a sword. You won't have to raise a spear. If you will just worship. So you know what he did? He got his army, and he gave them musical instruments, but then he put a choir in front of them. How would you like to be in that choir? And he said, I want the choir to go into the battlefield in front of the army. Think about that now. Anybody want to volunteer for choir practice? Yeah, we're going to send you on to the battlefield, knowing there's three nations out there that we cannot defeat. And he gets this choir together and puts them in front of his army. And the Bible says they were singing unto the Lord, unto the beauty of his holiness. And they begin to lift up their voices and sing. They begin to play on their instruments. And the Bible says that when they began to worship on that battlefield, did you hear that? When they began to worship on that battlefield, I got to say that for somebody again. When they began to worship on that battlefield, when they began, no, they didn't complain. When they began to worship on the battlefield, on the battlefield, on the battlefield, when everybody wanted to go home and they lifted up their hands and said, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his name. I don't understand what's about to happen, but I know you're going before me. The Bible says that the Lord went over their heads with his army, set an ambushment, confused the other armies, and they started killing each other. And Israel just stood there singing songs unto the Lord, and Moab attacked Edom, and Edom attacked Ammon. And before you know it, these three armies have turned on each other. Israel is not even in the battle. The Bible said, stand still and see the salvation of your God. You don't have to worship. I mean, you don't have to fight. All you've got to do is worship. And I want somebody to understand this tonight. Praise is beautiful, yes, but it is also a weapon. It is also something you put in your mouth to defeat your enemy and call for the armies of heaven to come down. You can praise your way out of the valley. You can praise your way out of the war zone. You can praise your way out of the battle. If you believe that, give God praise tonight. The Bible says in Psalm 68, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of thousands, and the Lord is among them in Sinai, in his holy place. So the Lord is saying that if you will worship and my presence comes down, guess who comes with me? Chariots of 20,000, even thousands of thousands, and the Lord is among them. I love, you know, one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 18. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and he heard my cry in the midst of his tabernacle. And I'm just going to paraphrase some of this. And God came down. I like that phrase. God came down with lightning and thunder all around him. And the Bible says he delivered me from the hands of mine enemies and those who are greater than me, because all I did was worship him, and his ears heard my praise in his tabernacle. And God rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind, and darkness was under his pavilion with fire and hail and vapor of smoke. And God came down and destroyed the battlefield all around him, because he lifted up his voice and said, God, this is bigger than me, but it's not bigger than you. I don't know what to do, but you are in control. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I don't have any more prayers. Have you ever gotten there before? I don't have any more prayers left, God. I've prayed everything I know to pray. I've quoted every scripture I know to quote. So all I'm going to do now is just worship you and settle in your presence, God. Your presence is enough. What I don't know how to articulate, what I don't know how to pray, you will do it all by yourself if I would just worship you and praise you. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com. Or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee, 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
God's dwelling place is also your hiding place. Now think about this. If I can get the presence of God to dwell, I have a place to hide. I love this passage. Look at this, Psalm 27. One thing I've desired of the Lord, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, you know what? I think we should read verse 5 together. Let's read it together. For in the time of trouble, let's start over. Let's all read it together. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me, and he shall set me high up on a rock. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, I didn't put this one up there, but I thought, man, I should have put verse 6 up there. Listen to this. And now my head will be lifted above my enemies all around me, and I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. Oh, yes, I will sing praises unto God, because he is hiding me in his tabernacle. Many years ago, I was on my first trip to Israel. And we were there for about 3 weeks on this trip, and we went through all the desert. We actually were retracing the camps of the children of Israel. It was quite fascinating. It wasn't your typical Israel trip, staying in nice hotels downtown and riding on buses. We didn't do any of that. We rode on camels, we rode on horses, and we rode in jeeps. We slept in tents, and we were actually roughing it, and that's what we all signed up for. We hiked over 50 miles in the desert on foot during this time, sleeping out in the open fields and eating not your typical cuisine. We were living on grapes and, or not grapes, but raisins and nuts and things like that, and riding camels and taking time riding camels. It was quite fascinating, one of the most amazing things I've ever done in my life. One particular scene I will never forget as long as I live. They tell us that we're going to go to the bottom of Mount Sinai in the Sinai Peninsula down in Egypt. So we had taken jeeps all the way into Egypt, and they said, now you get to sleep for 1 hour. And who can do that? Maybe you can, but I can't do that. So they gave us this pup tent that was so stinky that they knew nobody would sleep. I don't know where they got the thing, but it did not smell good at all. I'm thinking, why would anybody go down to Egypt? But I started understanding it all then. I'm in this smelly pup tent, and I you don't even want to hardly breathe. It smells so bad. You're in this sleeping bag that was rented, and you don't know who was in there the night before. But, you know, it's just like, you know, it's itchy thinking about the whole thing. And so we're laying there, and we get 1 hour sleep, and then we're going to hike Mount Sinai in the middle of the night. They're calling this the prophet's exercise. And so we get up, and we can't use flashlights. We have to hike by the moon. And so they're wanting us to understand what it would have been like to climb that mountain at night. And we're getting up there to see the glorious sunrise on top of Mount Sinai. So there's 15 in our group, and we're given these instructions. He said, and you can preach this sermon. I don't have time to preach it, but it's a great sermon. The guide has a light in front of us. He has a lantern. And he said, I know where to step. You step where I step. So look at the guy in front of you. And if I give an instruction, you turn around and give it to the guy behind you. So two things are going to get you up this mountain. Listen to the voice in front of you. And step in the footsteps of the person in front of you. If you do those things, we'll all be safe. So it took us 6 hours to get up that mountain. So we're hiking all night long. I'm stepping where the guy in front of me, his name is Johnny. I step everywhere Johnny steps, and I make sure that my right foot and my left foot is going right where he steps, because I really can't see much of anything. And then I'll hear Johnny say what he's hearing coming down the line. We're going to turn left. Okay, we're going to turn left. And I tell the guy behind me, we're going to turn left. And so we're listening to this voice, and we're walking in these footprints, and it's getting us to the top of the mountain. We finally make it after about 6 hours. There's a camel comes by us. No one's even riding it. I don't know where the thing came from. There's a camel comes by us right in the middle of the night. It's just like walking right by us, and we're all amazed and a little scared because, you know, this thing is huge, and it's our trail is not very wide. So we get to the top of the mountain, and we see the most glorious sunlight or sunrise you could ever imagine. As a matter of fact, I wrote in my spiritual journal that day, and it was like so poetic, talking about the eye of God coming up the mountain like someone courting a maid. I mean, I could just watch the shadow of God come through the valley, and it was like a romantic thing, and I'm sitting up there writing all of this in my journal. So then it's time for us to go back down the mountain, and when it's time to go back down the mountain, there's a pastor who pastors a very large church in North Carolina who is with us. And when we start down the mountain, we realize the trail is about this wide, and there's a 200-foot drop-off to the left. And we never knew that going up the mountain. And this guy clung to the side of the mountain and had a panic attack. And he said, I'm not going down this way. I want to go down the same way we came up. And the guide said, this is the same way we came up. No, this can't be the way we came. I didn't see any of that. He said, you couldn't see it because it was dark. You didn't understand the peril around you because it was dark. He said, I can't go down this mountain this way. And then he said something that I just stopped and wrote it in my journal. He said, if I would have known where you were bringing me, I would have never come up here. I have not, because I can't go down the same way I come up. And the Holy Spirit said, now you know why I've got to keep you in the dark sometimes. Now, you know, if the enemy had his way, he would have destroyed you a long time ago. You're fumbling through the night trying to find your way. And all you got, I got to get down here because I got to preach for a minute. All you got is a praise on your lips. You've run out of prayers. You've run out of dreams. You've run out of words. All the words on the refrigerator are now faded and you don't know what to do. You're hanging on to a 10-year-old prophecy here and an 8-year-old prophecy here, and you don't know which way to go, and all you can do is praise the Lord. And the Lord says, hey, I'm going to get you up on this mountain. You don't even know what the devil had planned for you, but if you'll keep listening to the voice, if you'll keep walking in the footprints, you're going to find your way to the top of the mountain. It does not matter. See, some of you are giving the devil way too many testimonies. He don't even know where you're at right now. You think he's attacking and coming against you. He lost your address when you came to Calvary. He lost your address when you went into the upper room. If you're worshiping God, God said, I will hide you in the secret place of the Most High. I will hide you in a praising place. If you can just praise me, I can hide you in praise. If you'll just worship me, I will hide you in praise. Yes, get out there and testify for the devil. Announce to him where you're at. Show him, call him on in. I promise you, he'll show up. You get out there talking about what the devil is doing, he'll be the first person to knock on your door. But if you get into a praising place and say, God, you see what old Talabogus has been doing to me. You know what he's up to, but I glorify your name. I don't understand it, Lord, but you're high and lifted up. I don't get it, God, but you are better than life. I don't know it, understand it, God, but your loving kindness, your tender mercies, great is your faithfulness. It is renewed every day. In my distress, I'll call upon you. I don't understand where the enemy's at, but I know where I'm going. God said, if you'll praise me, I can hide you. I can hide you in worship. I can hide you in praise. Somebody needs to get up on your feet right now and declare, God, you are my hiding place. You are my hiding place. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you will praise me, I can hide you. If you will praise me, the enemy can't find you. If you will praise me, the enemy will come looking for you but won't know where you're at, because you will be in the secret place of the Most High. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Give the Lord one more ovation of praise. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Well, thank you, Jesus. Listen to Psalm 31 and 20. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from, what's that next line say? The plots of men. Oh, let them say what they want to say. Let them write what they want to write. Let them gossip the way they want to gossip. Let them slander you all day long. Let them falsely accuse you and start rumors on you. But the Lord said, I understand it's bad. I understand you don't want to go through it. I understand you don't want to be here now. But if you can praise me here, I can hide you here. If you can worship me here, I can hide you here. I will hide you in the secret place of my pavilion from the plots of men. Yes, yes. Yes, God, I can hide you in worship. I can hide you in praise.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand his kingdom around the world.